Welcome everybody to this seventh day Sabbath. The purpose of this sermon is to look at the real purpose of God's Holy Spirit. There is a word in the Bible translated as helper or comforter, which comes from a Greek word, parakletos. And that word means an intercessor, consoler, advocate, comforter. The word is translated as advocate in some Bibles. It could be helper, comforter. This word parakletos appears only 5 times in the New King James Version. So we might think that it appears often because it's to do with God's Holy Spirit, but it doesn't. It only appears in limited times. And we're going to look at the real reason for this in the sense of there's a help that has been promised by God the Father to us, and we need that help. We're going to look at John 14, verse 15, which is one of the areas where this word appears in the New King James. John 14, verse 15. The title of the sermon, we're going to get to that, I think. The title of the sermon is The Comforter. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, this is if you agape me, Joshua the Messiah. Now that word agape really is about God's Holy Spirit, because it's only with God's Holy Spirit, parakletos, that a person can love. So when we see in the world, people say, oh, you know, if you love me, you would do this, and if you love me, you'd do that. Well, it's human. It's human reasoning, human motives, and therefore you can justify anything. Because, as we know, two people can get married of the same sex, and they say, well, we love each other. Well, we know in the body of Christ, it really is, we lust for each other. That's the truth, because they don't have God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, they cannot love. They cannot agape. It's not possible, because they don't have the parakletos. What God said was a helper, so that we could think differently. So here it is. If you love me, if we loved Christ. Now, to love Christ, a person needs God's Holy Spirit. What does he say? Keep my commandments on a spiritual level. Well, the world doesn't keep God's commandments, that's for sure. Therefore, they don't love, because they can't. They don't have that capacity. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another or a different helper. Now, this is the word helper, which is parakletos, which is referring to this help. Now, why is it called a helper? You say, you know, what is that help? Well, the help is that without God's Holy Spirit, without God's help, we cannot transform the mind. God can't do it. And we can't think differently. We need help, a lot of help. Because left to ourselves, our natural carnal mind, the spirit in man, we will be selfish. Therefore, we need help to change the way we think. And God says, well, I'm going to send you that help. And it was based on a few things of when this would arrive, this help would arrive. Now, there were times prior to the day of Pentecost, 31 AD, when God provided his Holy Spirit, the help, to others. And we know they're part of the 144,000, but there wasn't a lot of them. There was a few. But after Pentecost, 31 AD, God said he would pour out that help to more. And we are beneficiaries of that. That promise, the help, we've got it. We've got this help. Therefore, we have the ability to think differently, because God is helping us to think differently, which is like that good and evil. We can actually think good because we have God's Holy Spirit. We've got help. Help from God. God's mind is the help. That it may abide or dwell with you forever. Now, this is two parts. Firstly, the reason it is given so that we can have help now to transform the way we think. But once we are spirit beings, which is one of the truths, once we are spirit beings, God will continually give us that help, and it will never be cut off, never stop. So therefore, we will think one way. We will think like God, because he is enabling us to think that way once changed to spirit. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. Now, this is really the purpose of the sermon. Nobody can understand the truth. Nobody can live the truth without God's help, without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. People might be able to run off the truth as far as words by memory, just like reading the Bible. And there are people that know all of the Bible by word. And they can say, well, what does John 5, 6 say? And they go, da-da-da, bang. Meaningless, doesn't mean anything. But to understand what it really says is different. We've got the help to understand. We can understand the Bible because of this help. Now, they don't have the help that we have, God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. So God's Holy Spirit reveals truth. So we can see truth. We understand truth, the 57 truths, plus the real meaning of the name Joshua the Messiah, because of the power of God's Holy Spirit. Other than that, we will never believe or understand the truth. It's not possible. Which the world cannot see or cannot receive. So the world hasn't got it. Nobody out there has it other than what someone God has called, and they've given the gift of repentance, because that's a gift in itself. They've been baptized and now they've received God's Holy Spirit. And therefore, they now have the Spirit of truth. They can understand the truth, see the truth, and believe the truth. Now, if we don't believe the truth, something's happened to us, which means God's Holy Spirit, the help to believe, has been taken from us. We're cut off because of sin, unrepented sin. So we are called to see the truth. The world isn't called to see the truth, because it, the world, neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it, God's Spirit, dwells with you and will be in you. Now, what actually happens in life is that we've been given the spirit of man. We have the spirit, carnal mind, thinking, but it's a spirit essence. We have it. Well, God provides his Holy Spirit, which is something that is separate, different way of thinking that unites with ours. Now we can think differently by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that's the real purpose of God's Holy Spirit. It's about transforming so that we can enter Elohim. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. And that word really is, there's lots of different meanings to it, but parentless, comfortless, fatherless. In other words, I won't abandon you. I'm going to give you the help so that you can enter Elohim. And that help is God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. I am coming to you. That is, God is coming to us through Christ, because it was Christ that enabled this. And if we go back over the scriptures, what we see is that the Logos, the mind of Jesus Christ, sorry, not Jesus Christ, of Christ, was the mind of God. Therefore, we have an aspect of that. We have the power that Christ had to think differently. That's all he thought. We have that power because we've been given the Holy Spirit. We can see from this scripture that God's Holy Spirit and the truth are connected. You can't separate them. Therefore, someone without God's Holy Spirit cannot believe the truth. Somebody with God's Holy Spirit can believe the truth. They are connected. God's Holy Spirit and truth are connected, cannot be separated. We can see from this scripture that God's Holy Spirit and the truth are connected. One purpose is to transform the mind, and another is to bring peace of mind through the truth. And that's what we're going to look at. We, as members of the body of Christ, have a peace that mankind cannot have. And it's, how do we obtain peace? Through the truth. The truth will set us free, but we only can see this because God has promised something, the Holy Spirit, so that we can be enabled to believe God and to live peace. We have the power to be at peace. It's a choice, but we can if we believe God. And there's so many truths, which we're going to look at today, that bring peace, that the world has no idea about what it is. But we have peace of mind. We should have peace of mind because we believe God. Therefore, believing God brings great peace. It's a blessing to be in God's church. John 14, verse 25. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Now, this is Christ speaking to the disciples. But the Helper, Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, so it's very clear that it's being revealed what it is, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send, so it comes from God. It's God's thinking being given to us. God's Holy Spirit with our spirit, which the Father will send in my name. Because by the death of Christ, sin was covered. So therefore, God won't dwell with sin, but once we are repentant and God's Holy Spirit is available to us, if we stay in a state of repentance, then because of our sins are covered, as far as once Christ died, sin was forgiven, now God can live and dwell in us. That's what calling, repentance, baptism, and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit is all about. It's about the ability to think differently. Well, we need this help, and therefore we're given this help because of the death of Christ, and our sins are covered and can be forgiven now. Just finishing off that scripture, it, God's Holy Spirit, will teach you all things of the truth. Not everything to do with mathematical equations and all the rest of it, but the truth. We now can see the truth. The things of God are now revealed to us because God's living and dwelling in us. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Because at this point in time, they didn't have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them. They had access to God's thinking, the fact that they could understand elements of it. But once Christ had died and was resurrected, the day of Pentecost arrived, then they received God's Holy Spirit, then things started to make sense. Things then thought, oh, hang on a minute. And we have those moments as well. Often we can be reading a scripture and we go, oh, I see it. But for the rest of our life prior, we've read it that many times and never seen it. Then all of a sudden we go, ah, look at that. And it's like listening to a sermon after maybe the third or fourth time. You go, I never heard that the first three times. Well, that's God's Holy Spirit working with us to reveal truth to us. And then we go, ah, now I see it. Now I see it. So it's by this power of God, that we see spiritual matters. We see the truth. All the things that Christ spoke to them will now be able to be understood on a spiritual level. Prior to that, a lot of the parables were just parables. Remember when they look at a lot of the parables about fishers of men? Fishers of men? What's he talking about? Fishers of men? They're going to go out there and catch men? Or so. It was totally different. It was about teaching the truth, preaching the truth, preaching Christ, the death, forgiveness of sin, and then men would be able to be called, humans would be able to be called because of that preaching. That's exactly the same when it comes to accepting and knowing the truths of God. To know and understand the truths that God has placed in his church through Joshua the Messiah means a person has God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them. John 16 verse 5. John 16, verse 5. But now I, talking about Christ, go away to him, God the Father, who sent me. And it wasn't that he pre-existed and was sent down. He's been sent from the point of view of being born of Mary as a man, but the purpose of his life was that he was sent for a purpose, which is Passover, and opening a way for the forgiveness of sin so that God could live and dwell in us by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And none of you ask, where are you going? You think that would be normal. Someone says, well, I'm going away. And you say, well, where are you going to? Where are you heading off to? Nobody says anything, you see, because they don't really understand what he's talking about. He's talking about dying, and they're not understanding at all about that. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Physical. I'm leaving you. Oh, we're going to be left alone here, and he's going off to some other city. And they get personal sorrow, personal grief, because it's an absence of somebody they love. Therefore, there's a personal sorrow. It's physical, because their thinking is personal or physical loss. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Isn't this beautiful? It's to your advantage that I become the Passover and that I die, that I go away. It's to your advantage. Why? For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Parakletos, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send it to you. So what a blessing. A blessing for us. that this actually took place. So this makes the sacrifice of Christ have more meaning for us, because he went through what he did and sacrificed for us, the sacrifice of God for us. We now have this helper, this benefit that has been given to us, once called. And when it has come, Pentecost 31 AD, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. So sin will be revealed to those who are called, because we understand, having gone through this process, that we only see sin and know what sin is because God reveals it to us. Other than that, we are self-righteous. We only do what we think is right and wrong, because personally, we're not wrong, are we? Otherwise, we'd be somewhere else doing something else. But here, with God's Spirit, we now begin to see, I am wrong. I am the problem. I'm selfish. Well, we only see that because God gives us the gift. Now, I have tried in different environments, with work environments, where I've said to people, you're smoking, you're just being selfish. And they just laugh. They loved it, because they'd get their cigarette and wave it in front of me and say, selfish stick, selfish. Where I realised it was pointless exercise. Nobody thinks they're really selfish. Nobody really thinks they're selfish. They're just not. Everyone else, easy to see selfishness in someone else. Easy. But seeing it in self is just about impossible, because they don't have God's Spirit. Verse 9. Of sin, because they, those in the world, do not believe me. Nobody believed Christ, what he said. They couldn't understand him, and they didn't believe it anyway. Verse 10. Of righteousness, which is those called to see the truth, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. So it's a wonderful blessing that he is going to die. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world, Satan, is judged. Now, we spoke about that before in a sermon with regards to judgment. So Satan has been judged. Judgment. Hasn't paid the penalty of that judgment, that discernment, because judgment really is a discernment. When you go to a court case, in the end, there's a final judgment. Nowadays, they have 12 people that make a decision. But really, the judge, his judge, he's going to dish out judgment. Well, the judgment is you're guilty. Yep, okay, everyone says you're guilty. Then they normally go away for a period of time and they'll work out with different equations that they have, different rules and guidelines, what the outcome of it is. Satan has been judged by God and the outcome is death. Isn't it incredible? We know that. Mankind now sits down with various judgments, has different rules, and they'll come out with an outcome, a judgment. The judgment is 60 days, 100 days, whatever it is in jail or community work. That's the outcome of the judgment. But that's the judgment, then there's an outcome which comes later on, has to be served. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear or you cannot carry them. Why? Because they're spiritual. It's like talking, often say it's like banging your head against a brick wall or talking to the unconverted. It's a pointless exercise, but they can't understand anything you're talking about. Think you're crazy, just like they thought Christ was crazy. Some knew there was something special about him. Others thought, he's just crazy. The other leaders of the Jewish community really didn't like him because of the following that he was gaining. Therefore, they didn't understand half the things that he said. Some they did, and they took it personally when he said, hypocrite. Everybody knows what that is. Hypocrite. You know, whoa, I know what that means. I think you're talking about me. So they knew. Well, here he says, I've got a lot of things on a spiritual level, but you can't carry them now. They still have a carnal mind thinking and cannot understand what he is really saying, because these are spiritually discerned. They are spiritual matters. Verse 13, however, when it, talking about God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. So it's only by the power of God's Holy Spirit that we can see truth and be guided by it and see more truth. And the moment we disagree with truth, we've cut ourselves off from the flow of God's Holy Spirit, because we only see if we have it, and if we don't have it, we can't see. For it, God's Holy Spirit in you, will not speak on its own, so it's not a separate being, but it's from God's mind, which is truth, because God does not lie. God cannot lie. It's not how he is. It's not his nature. But whatever it hears, truth, it will speak, so it's from within a person. So when we have it, if we have God's Holy Spirit and it's being used, God gives us the opportunity to use it and God does the works through us, truth will come out from us. We'll speak the truth because it's from God, it's from God's mind. And it, the Holy Spirit, will tell you things to come, which is to do with understanding prophecy. To truly understand prophecy, to truly understand church government, takes God's Holy Spirit. I know there have been times when a person has tried to explain God's government to somebody with a natural mind. Now, what you get out of that, when you think about it, we understand God's government because it's based on God's Holy Spirit. So we look to the structure of the church, which God says, first apostles, then prophets. So that's what we look to. We look to the apostle who makes a ruling and a judgment, church government, that's it. And we go, okay, now to the world, what do you really think that they think? Well, they would say, well, there's a dictator telling you what to do. Little do they know that we choose to follow. It's totally different. But how do you explain that? It's not possible. You can't actually sit down and explain really God's government. But really, it's quite simple. We believe that God's church is governed by God's Holy Spirit. Try and explain God's Holy Spirit to somebody. Well, let me tell you. God called me. Okay, that sounds good. And with this thinking that I've got, he placed his mind in mine. And therefore, at times, I use that to govern my life. But at other times, I choose my selfishness. Okay, like, where is the padded jacket? Because you're obviously, you know, there's something wrong. Because you just can't explain these things. You can only explain it to someone who has God's Spirit. It's beautiful, isn't it? We have God's Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. But try to talk to someone else. They just think you're so self-righteous that, you know, God speaks to us. There's a beautiful song in the hymn book. God speaks to us by his great power we're led. True, but can you explain that to anybody? By God's great power we're led. And that's true. We follow church government because of God's Holy Spirit. And anybody who doesn't follow church government is not being led by God's Holy Spirit. They're being led by their own human spirit of self-interest. It's black and white to us. It's so obvious. It's easy to understand. Can't be explained to the world. It will glorify me, this is verse 14, which is God's Spirit, for it, God's Holy Spirit, will take what is mine, which is Christ's words, and declare it to you. So now we can read what Christ said, and we can understand it. Aha! Now we know what about taking the light, the bushel, and putting it under. You know, don't put it under a bed. Now we can understand it. Someone else will go, hang on a minute. You get a lamp, and you put it out for everyone to see. What does that mean? Well, what that means for us is totally different to what it means for someone in the world. It's got nothing to do with something physical. Absolutely nothing. Nothing to do with a light, a lamp. Nothing. It's about us and how we live our life. That's what it's about. So that others can see God's ways. Don't understand it, but they can see God in us. And I know from personal experience that people will look at you as weird and odd. And I know in this room that people will say something happened to you. Something's happened to you, Barzi. There's something happened to Peter. Look, they can't work it out. Don't expect them to work it out. They can't. Can't hear you. It's just the way that it is. Something has happened. It's a beautiful gift that God has given us and not them. Don't expect anything from anybody else. Don't. Can't be given. They can't receive it. So no point talking about it. Just live it. And one day they will glorify God. And they say, now I know what God was doing with that person. And the glory will go to him. It wasn't us at all. We're making choices, but it was God in us that does the works. Verse 15. All things referring to the truth that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that it will take of mine and declare it to you. God's Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us. The advocate only appears once in the New King James Version, and it's from the word parakletos. So we often think that this, you know, you'd think that God's Holy Spirit about what it's going to do, and that was well spoken of. No, it wasn't. Because it's only for the church. It wasn't for anyone else. People can read the Bible and all that, but it's not for them. They're just words. And I remember when my wife read the Bible for the first time, she struggled to understand why they kept on going over the same story all the time. Because you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They just keep telling you the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. Because that's what it looks like. But we know differently on a spiritual level what it's about. It's different versions. You gain a little bit here, a little bit there. Join it all together and you'll get a better picture. Still not all of it, though. There's many things that could be written that haven't been written. But this is what's relevant for us at this point in time. John, 1 John 2, verse 1. 1 John 2, verse 1. First John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, this is John, so that you may not sin. When you really boil this down, our life is about whether we sin or we don't. And if we do, we repent. So that's our life. Our life's about sin. If we went out there and told people that they were sinning, they don't know what sin is. It takes God's Holy Spirit to understand what sin is. Sin is the transgression of God's law. That's what sin is. So this has been written so that we don't transgress God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, which is Parakletos, a comforter, a helper, because now we can talk to God about this. We can talk to God and ask for forgiveness. The Father, Joshua the Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation, which means the appeasing or atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the whole world. But they don't know about it. They don't understand it. They don't realize why Christ went through Passover. They might have a rough idea, but they don't keep Passover. They keep other days. Everybody's sin can be forgiven based on their repentance. But an unrepented sin cannot be forgiven because the people don't want to repent. They don't want to change. Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. Then he, Christ, said to them, "These are the words which I speak to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. I think this is actually amazing because this has actually happened to us. So here we have Christ opening the mind, understanding. God's Spirit is given to them, not impregnated yet, but there so that they now can see. Now, that's what we have access to. We can see it. We can read something and go, isn't this exciting? Someone else can't see it. This is the power of God. Once we are granted the gift of the Holy Spirit, we see spiritually. And we should never, ever underestimate this difference, how different we really are. And it's not because of us. It's because we have God's Spirit. And we shouldn't expect others to believe what we believe or to see what we see. They can't. They could try all they like, but they just can't, because we see spiritually because of this great gift. Verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things." Verse 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," or wait, "in the city of Jerusalem till you have endured," or are endured, which is put on, clothed with, clothed in, have on. It's talking about God's Spirit. Because prior to this, they never had it. The power from on high. God's Holy Spirit comes from God. And therefore, it's a great power that we shouldn't underestimate, the power to see spiritually. Acts 1. Acts 1 verse 4. Which we understand is referring to leading up to the day of Pentecost. Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, was this referring to Christ, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. They weren't to leave because they had to get to Pentecost 31 AD, but to wait for the promise of the Father, where it's coming from, which he said, you have heard from me. So they were aware of what was going to happen in a part, but still thinking it's physical. And of course, they locked themselves in a room and they waited as they were commanded. Verse 5, for John baptized, and that word, of course, we understand as immersed, submerged, to make overwhelmed. So John overwhelmed with water were baptized. They were immersed. Fully wet is another way that it's put in the Bible. It's you're fully wet. You're covered with water. But you shall be baptized, immersed, overwhelmed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So it's something different. Whereas they had the baptism of John, which they were aware of, which is about the remission of sins. Now we have this power that is made available to those God calls and is granting to them so that they can think differently. The power of God in them. God's Holy Spirit and the truth are connected. We are to walk in the truth. And if we walk in the truth, it's evidence that we have God's Holy Spirit. If we don't walk in the truth, it's evidence we don't have God's Holy Spirit. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, which is what Scripture says. That anybody who says they are of God and they don't believe the truth, God is not in them. It's only somebody with the Spirit. Now we will look at some of the truths God has placed in his church through Christ and explore how these truths comfort God's people. Because we should be at peace and we should be comforted. God's Holy Spirit is the helper that can transform the way we think. Without this help, we cannot be transformed in our thinking. So we're going to look at some of the truths and just come to grips with them, why we are at peace compared to other people in the world. Why we should be at peace compared to other people in the world. And if we're not at peace because of the truth, something is really wrong in our life. Because we should be able to stand back and be quite relaxed about a lot of things in life that other people are worried and anxious about. We don't have to be worried or anxious about things because God has given us the truth to give us help to be at peace. Because the mind of God is peace. That's what we're looking for. Well, we have an aspect of peace now. The first one is the seventh-day Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath remains one of the most basic signs God's true church. God's people have always obeyed the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, what happens on this seventh day? God pours out his Spirit and we hear the truth on the Sabbath. So what a beautiful thing. So we can be at peace. We look forward to this day, a day of rest, spiritual rest. We're resting and we want to hear the truth. We're anxious to hear the truth. If you know what the word anxious is, we desire it. We want to know more about God's way. Well, it happens about the Sabbath. We have the Sabbath day. We have a day of rest. We have a day where the truth is poured out. Seventh day Sabbath, the world has rejected it. They don't have God's Spirit. It's because we have God's Spirit that we understand the purpose of the Sabbath. It's not just about a physical rest. It's a spiritual matter about learning the truth, learning more about God and God's way of life, how to live our life. That's what it's about. Two, the name of God's church, the church of God. God's church bears his name as it belongs to him. How many people believe that? Not many. Some might if they had God's Holy Spirit, because if they had God's Holy Spirit, they would have once believed it. Now they're cut off. They are aware of it, but they don't understand it. This is one of the key truths that has been revealed to God's church. The name of God's church, the church of God. It's God's church. We're begotten sons of God, heirs. We haven't inherited. But we are children of God. And God is feeding us in his church. So how beautiful is this, that we understand God's church, we know where it is. So when things happen, should we be stressed or distressed? Not really. We can be at peace. No matter what happens, personally, I know this is God's church. I know this is God's church. Therefore, there shouldn't be any shocks or surprises to us, because we'll wait on God. It was like when the apostasy happened, I'd lost my way, the church had lost its way, went off and sat. I remember sitting up in bed with my wife, and we had the Bible, and I had to go back over and prove the Sabbath, because it was being done away. I knew it was God's church, but how could God's church do away with the Sabbath? It's like confusion in the mind. You think, this is God's church, but now somebody's standing up and saying the Sabbath is done away. But years ago, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, I'd come to believe that the seventh-day Sabbath was the only thing that's real, that I knew. So we sat up, I can remember sitting there in the Bible and, look, look. Didn't have God's Holy Spirit then, but I believe being led for a reason that to see something. Look, so came to the conclusion that no matter what happened, we were going to be Sabbath keepers, and resolved in our mind, in that, sitting up in bed, that no matter what, if nobody else was going to keep the Sabbath from God's church, because at that time it was just fragmenting everywhere, well, it didn't really matter, because we were going to keep the Sabbath. I know now that we probably wouldn't have lasted very long, because without God's Spirit, you can't. Something else will cut across it. But that's what we had determined. We knew that the Sabbath was of God. And we knew this is God's church. It's got to be somewhere. So we resolved these things. And I remember continuing to tithe, but nowhere to give tithes, because I knew this truth. First tithe is to God. I already knew this. God had revealed it to me a long time ago. I knew it. I knew these first three truths. Therefore, we had resolved we'd do it. So every week when I got paid, I'd take out first tithe and second tithe and put it away. And after a period of time, it was the Pentecost of 1995, I remember, was that point, the United Church of God started up. And Chris and myself, we were given this information, we believe, from God, where we used to say to them, well, why can't, like when you think of it, when we've got God's Spirit, it's helpful when God's sort of leading us at that point. We used to say, why can't we, this is United because they had 12 on a committee and all that stuff, why can't we just appoint one person to lead the church? Like, if someone with God's Spirit leads the church, surely it's pretty basic, isn't it? What? But we've got all these different answers. Well, we don't trust anybody anymore. You can't trust anyone. But that's what we look for. We wanted one person that God had appointed to lead the church, and we would follow, because it's God's church, therefore it was fine. Well, they argue with us about that and made all these excuses about trust nobody and never going to happen again, and, well, didn't realise, still asleep at that time. Well, on the first time that we managed to get together as a group, I walked up to the minister that was there at the time, won't go into names, and started talking, and because we were quite excited, we weren't really off God at that point, if you understand what I mean. God wasn't really dwelling in us. I believe he was helping us, guiding us through. And the minister turned around and looked me in the face and said, well, it'd be, you know, a lot easier, because Australia United was different than United America at that point. It would be a lot easier if, you know, you people would pay tithes. You know, first tithe, because obviously it's just forming. Well, would you believe, on that day, I'd put in all the tithes that I'd had for a long period of time in an envelope, so I just pulled it out and said, well, there you go. First tithe. I knew that it wasn't mine. I knew that, because God gave it to me. I knew that this is the truth. I knew this. So handing it over is no problem. I know it didn't belong to me. What they do with it is their problem, if you know what I mean. Ministry, it's not mine. It belongs to God. So you can see, what a freedom. What a freedom first tithe gives us. If we really, really believe this is God's church, if we really, really believe God is leading somebody on this earth at this time in his church, paying first tithe should be just automatically wonderful, supporting God's work on earth. What a freedom. How many other people know about first tithe, about supporting God, the creator of the universe, work on earth? Only God's people know it. What a freedom. Haven't got the bondage of the captivity of mine, thinking that all the money that comes in is mine. No, I know, because God revealed it. First tithe belongs to him, and second tithe belongs to him, really, in the sense of honouring him at the feast. It's for me, but it's still, if you understand what I mean, it's about going to worship God and rejoice about what God's done. Now, this is a freedom. This is a comfort. This is a helper. It's the truth. So just those three alone sets us free from this world, makes us different. As we've said, to understand the truth, we need God's Holy Spirit. We have had access to it. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are cut off from the flow of God's Holy Spirit at the moment, but they understand aspects of this. You know, some are more adamant than others, but they understand aspects of this. Whether they can fulfill it in the true spirit of it, can't, because they don't have God's Spirit to fully comprehend what it's really all about. We know what it's about. Truth four, the government of God. This is a very powerful truth that God has revealed, because God's government, church government, is so different than man's government. But we've grown up with man's government. And when a person comes to see God's government, truly about God's government, because God's government is about God's Holy Spirit. It's all about God, because it's God's government on this earth. So truth four, the government of God. When Christ comes, he will restore God's government to the whole earth, because it doesn't exist now. It exists in part. It's called the Church of God, PKG, God's government on this earth now. And that's the only place that it is. God's government was restored to his church during Philadelphia. Mr. Armstrong was given this truth to see it and comprehend it. Not everybody in Philadelphia understood church government. And looking back, I have to say I didn't. Because if I really understood it, I probably wouldn't have allowed certain things to happen in my life that happened to me. It is not a government where men make decisions and are made by such practices as voting or one's own will. Now, this is something that I ran into straight away. We were looking for one person to lead United Church of God Australia at that time. And they had turned around and said, well, we're never going to go through what we just went through. We're going to have a committee, 12, that'll make decisions. And everyone will abide by those decisions. Well, it's like voting. And we brought up this topic. Well, I don't think we should vote. I knew that voting was wrong. I believe Mr. Armstrong that voting's wrong. You need one person that's going to rule with God's Holy Spirit. How hard is this? Well, it's hard. True? And you look at it, because if you sin and you don't repent and you go to sleep, God's Spirit's not there, therefore it's going to be a different government. Well, that's what was formed, a different government. Different government formed, and it was by the will of a group of people, not from one man. And if you had the history of Mr. Armstrong, when something came up, Mr. Armstrong used to have a group of people that would study it and come up with recommendations, but they never made the decision. He would then go away, think about it, pray about it, then make a judgment, a ruling. This is it. And that's binding. What's bound on earth, bound in heaven. That's the ruling, no matter what it was. That's it. Well, if we have God's Holy Spirit, we'll understand Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, because it's about church government. First apostles. There's an apostle. And I might have said it before, I am so thankful we have an apostle. I am so thankful that we have one person that has God's Spirit that leads us. And whichever direction, people say, we're just following. I'm so happy that there's somebody else making all the decisions, because it's tough. We underestimate how difficult it is to be an apostle in God's church. Much harder than we think. It's a lot of prayer, a lot of stress that goes in it, in the sense of making a ruling, because it affects people's lives. And you want it to be right. God can give the inspiration, but there's still got to be rulings made. And they're not all that simple. There's so many things in this world that are just not that simple. They're not written in the Bible like Ten Commandments. There's many things that have come up that just rulings have to be made. Apparel, wearing clothing. There's no ruling other than modesty, but, what's modesty? There's a definition required in modesty. which has been given by God's apostle to the church. Truth 5, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God has been restored after 1900 years. It is the good news of the government of God. How many people know that? Very few. They don't know about a government of God. The return of Christ to this earth with 144,000 is the government of God that is going to rule the earth. They're not physical beings, they're spiritual beings. Who do you think out there believes any of that? There's a few that were in God's church at some point in time. It is the government of God which is restored at Christ's return. Now that should give us a freedom. We know that we don't have to worry about what's happening. We see all this anxiety. We see what's happening to family. We see what's happening to relationships. We see what nations are doing. We see the craziness of rules that are made. We see politicians and what they're really doing. We can see all this that's wrong. But we are separate, so we are different. Because we have God's Spirit, we can see it. Oh, it's only temporary. It's coming to an end very quickly. It's only temporary. It's all going to be gotten rid of. All the madness is going to be gotten rid of. We're going to have a new government, the government of God. And that's why it's good news. Here is the good news. Christ is returning with 144,000. This is good news. Well, only with the power of God's Holy Spirit can you see it's good news. A lot of people will resist and fight, which is what's going to happen. Governments will fight because they don't want to lose their power and authority. And all those now that have this so-called power and authority, they're going to fight to the death. They're going to hang on really tight because they don't want to get rid of that rulership because that's who they are. That's their power. God's purpose for mankind, which is truth 6. God's purpose for mankind. God is reproducing himself. And no other church knows or preaches this truth. We are to be born of God and become God in the family of God. Sounds good to us, but it's an amazing thing. This is the purpose of life, the purpose of mankind, why we're here, why we have the Spirit in man is because of a future. To be in Elohim, to be there forever, and we have very little knowledge of what the future is. Because eternity, how long's eternity? It's forever. What are we all going to be doing forever? We think physical, so we think very narrow-minded, narrow. But God's not. God's got it all planned out. He knows what's going to be happening in trillions of years' time with his family. And it's exciting. We have to hang on to that truth, grasp it tight, hang on to it. We have a purpose. We have a purpose of why we're in the church now. Truth 7, who and what God is God. What is God? Well, we know mankind does not. God is a family into which we may be born. God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are begotten children of God. So we are all now begotten children of God, not yet born. What a freedom. What a truth. Isn't that incredible, really, that we know these things and we understand them? Mankind doesn't. What is man? Truth 8. Man does not have an immortal soul. Well, not the majority, probably a lot of people believe that they do. Therefore, when they die, they're going to go off to heaven and they'll be looking down. That's a lie. Comes from Satan. He's a deceiver. Mankind is deceived. Man is temporary, living, mortal being that returns to the elements of the earth at death and does not go to heaven or hell. Only God can give mankind immortality in his family. So we have a promise. God has promised. He wants us to have it, which is this gift to be in Elohim. And I know we desire and look forward to that day, that one day we'll be in Elohim. And we won't be battling selfish desires or selfish thoughts. This alone should be a freedom. We should be very confident and bold in the truth. Because it's what separates us. It sets us free from the bondage that they have. I know, when it comes to resurrections, that mankind is in bondage. They say at funerals that, you know, they're waiting a resurrection, but they're already in heaven, but they're waiting a resurrection. It doesn't make any sense. We have a freedom, we know. And I remember doing a particular funeral, which some of you were at, up in the country in New South Wales one time, and it was rather cold and big storm was coming. And I remember getting the microphone and doing the service, because it was a member of the body of Christ that had died, and waiting a resurrection. And so I went through the church funeral service talking about a resurrection. And there was a lot of people there, and you looked out there and it's like nothing. There's nothing, just blank. This idiot up here is talking about. They had no understanding of God's plan of salvation, none. And they couldn't comprehend it. It was just a witness to them, because they can't hear what I'm saying about a resurrection, and this person's waiting a resurrection. Hopefully part of the 144,000. Don't know, because we don't know. We've just got to wait and see. Yet we have this freedom, so we're relaxed. At a funeral, we're more relaxed, a bit more positive. They're hoping that, everyone else is hoping, that the person's gone to heaven. Don't want to go down to that hell place. You don't. So when that was finished, hand the mic back to the person who'd organised the funeral and made comments along the line as, well, her spirit is now free. You know, look, you think, look, they hear nothing because they're trapped in bondage. But we have a freedom knowing the truth, because it's the truth that actually sets us free from this bondage of doubt, not knowing. I know and I believe my parents will be resurrected in 100 years and going to have to do it all again. This time differently. Whether they're going to choose each other or not, death separates, so who knows? Have to wait and see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting time. We don't know much about the 100 years when you really look at it. We know a little bit. We know about the nature of animals changing and that life's guaranteed for 100 years. But how complex is it really? A resurrection, how complex is that? When you resurrect all these people from all these different cultures and times, when, like, you resurrect a pharaoh who thought he was God, that's what he was taught, he believed he was a god, and that everyone would bow down, and then you get an Australian come up and say, hey mate, you want to wake up to yourself? He goes, off with your head. Just, yeah. What a difference in culture. How can you mend that? You can't, of course. Because it's going to be an education system. It's going to take time. Let alone all the people that bow down to cows and worship cows. Then they find out it's a cow. It's a cow. And it dies. And that's it. Nothing. It's finished. No spirit going anywhere with a cow. And it's not a god. You don't have to worship it. You can milk it to get milk. You can eat it. You can't resurrect those cultures all together and just jam them in. It's going to have to be resurrected to know the truth. And over time, truth will be revealed, and with the power of God's Spirit, you can go, it was an idol, falsehood. Satan deceived me. Satan deceived me. My parents taught what they were taught, a lie. No different than the Western world, Christmas and Easter. The fat man going down the chimney, can't fit. It's only that big these days. Just deception and lies. Once they're all taught, it's going to take time. So all those cultures have got to be resurrected, and they're going to be given these truths. The purpose for mankind. Isn't it beautiful? Who and what is God? It's a family. And as a human, we have that potential to enter Elohim. What is man? Man doesn't have an immortal soul. The Catholic Church has been lying to me. And therefore all the Protestant daughters, all the harlots, I've been teaching the same thing. You think you die and go to heaven. No, you don't. Die and go to the dust of the earth, where you came from. The human spirit in man. Now, when this truth came out, this is a marvellous thing. We understand this. People out there don't. The difference between a human mind and an animal brain is that there is a human spirit within the human brain that gives the ability of free thought, choice, creativity, and memory. As you get older, that part moves, the memory part. Remember one time somebody said they had to try to remember what you had to forget. if you don't remember, doesn't matter. This human spirit must be united with the Spirit of God for man to be able to come to know the true ways of God, which is what this sermon's about. The only way we know what we know is because God has granted us the gift of His Holy Spirit. The church is only the first fruits. We're not going to go through all of them because time's not going to permit us. The church is not yet the kingdom of God. We're in embryo, and because of God's Spirit, we're waiting to be born into a new life, into Spirit. Only those God the Father calls and draws to Him can be converted, transformed. It's the only way. Only those God chooses and calls now can come into the church of God. Satan has deceived the whole world, and the church is called out of that world. That should ring bells to us. This is what we came from. We were in captivity of the mind, in bondage. And what we thought was right was not right. What we thought was wrong wasn't necessarily wrong. It was our human view or opinion. And it depends how we're brought up in a family about what we believe. Now, I grew up in one particular way, believing certain things. And to undo some of the things that have been taught to me has taken time. Because my mind's just like yours, and it's like a needle in the record, and it's automatic. That's just an automatic response. Well, to jump that needle out is difficult. It takes time. It takes the power of God's Holy Spirit to think a different way, to react a different way. And we will be tested in that. The resurrection to judgment, truth 13. The resurrection to judgment is the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. This period of judgment covers 100 years and follows the time of the millennial reign of Christ on this earth. God has not yet been trying, or God has not been trying to save the world. We know that missionaries go out because they want to go into different cultures that have their own religious beliefs, and they try to convert them because they're trying to save them. In other words, you only live once, which is a lie, because we don't realise the lies that are in there. People think you live once. No, the majority live twice. So there's a lie that mankind teaches. And God is not trying to save the world because it's been allocated 6,000 years of man's self-rule. Work out for yourself, from Adam and Eve's time, what is good and evil. Work it out. And then God will intervene through Christ and set up a new government and teach the truth. It's an incredible plan, but this is the only way. If you look back and remember, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to the sermons that were given at the feast in relation to experiencing good and evil. Because we have experienced evil. Because prior to our calling, that's all we were experiencing. Evil, selfishness. Selfishness in others, from others, our selfishness out to others, which is justified because we're right in our own eyes. But selfishness, we've experienced it. It's ugly, it hurts, hurts us, hurts others. The whole world is suffering because of selfishness. Everybody is hurting. If we listen to that sermon, they experience good and evil. The only way to experience good is only God is good. Therefore, the only way to experience good is be given God's Holy Spirit, then we can experience good. These truths are good. We can live from them. We can learn from them. We can experience the good. So the knowledge of a resurrection is a good thing. It's the truth. How good is that? So no matter what happens to people, when there's a car accident and, you know, five small children get killed, you know, people go, oh, you know, it's terrible. It's not good, because in the sense of, if you understand what good is, it's not good from the point of view there's people going to be left that suffer. But there's a good thing about it, because those children won't grow up in lies and their minds won't be polluted. So we look at things differently. We see, you know, boat people coming across the ocean and 50 drown in a boat. And the world goes, what a tragedy, you should have got out there quicker on the boat, and this government's wrong, and this government's wrong, you should have done that and you should have done that. Well, better off out of it, because you'll be resurrected in the 100-year period and you'll come to see good by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we understand what a resurrection's about, the 100-year period where good will be taught. They'll have experienced evil, now they have the opportunity to experience the good. So over the last 6,000 years, there have been billions of people that have not had the opportunity for salvation during their time, and they'll have it now in this coming time of judgment, which is the last great day, a day of judgment. What will the person choose? Over this time of judgment, Those resurrected to a second physical life will have to prove that they want to live differently than they did in their first life. Yep. Like the millennium, a time of choice. The last great day is a time of choice. Last chance. Make a choice. So there's been many before us that have made wrong choices. Many of them will get a choice again in the future. Be resurrected. Continue to make choices. But only if you make right ones for a long period of time. Truth 14, the millennium, the kingdom of God, will rule the nations on earth during this 1,000-year period. Christ and the 144,000 will be resurrected to become kings and priests, will rule and begin and bring prosperity to the entire earth. Now, this is an incredible change. So all the politics that exist today, all of the things that are going on and meetings and nations, United Nations, all of it is going. But there will still be governments, but any of those governments or rulership on a physical level will all be under Christ's government and the 144,000 because they teach the truth. The 144,000 will teach the truth, whereas man's government's going to have to learn it. And yes, there will be government, but not by voting. And I often think of this because I get quite excited by it, because it's like church government. When all of a sudden a decision is made, inspired by God through an apostle, that this person will now be part of the ministry. It's a governmental decision. So we have that issue in our life where we think, hang on a minute. Well, do you think that's not going to happen during the millennium and the 100 years? Do you really think people are going to go, yes, okay, everything's fine? They're going to say, what do you mean? That I know that person. What do you mean he's now looking after this? When I knew him, he was a thief and a liar. You can imagine the baggage. Because certain people, movie stars, all these different people. Life is just going to be, we have no idea how complicated things are. But they'll be tested just like we're tested. They'll be tested in the truth. But still not going to be easy. Humans will be humans. And they'll have views and opinions, and they don't necessarily or won't necessarily agree with God's government. We're free from man's government. Yes, we yield to man's government. Because God says we're to yield, give up our human desires. But by power of God's Holy Spirit, we're under church government. We yield to that. They can't understand church government. We can. So the millennium, that 1,000-year period, where Christ and the 144,000 will be kings and priests. So if you look at it, kings, what do kings do? Kings rule. What do priests do? Serve. So being part of God's government is not about self. It's about serving, giving what God is doing. Whereas often, humanly, a person is made a king, it's everyone goes to that king and worships the king, so to speak. But on a physical level, it's not like that. The kings should be making rules and decisions, and we know Christ is King of Kings. All the decisions are to the benefit of mankind. Sabbath, benefit to mankind, if we understand it. Tithing, benefit to mankind, if we understand it. So all of the truths are benefits to mankind. They come from God, from God's mind, gone to a mind of love. This truth is an exciting truth that we understand talking about today. The Holy Spirit coming into us only begets us. So we are beneficiaries of God's Holy Spirit now, and we are begotten sons. We have the potential to enter a family. So we're begotten. We've been impregnated with God's Holy Spirit. We now have the capacity and the potential to enter God's family once and for all. We have a portion of God in us. And that portion of God in us enables us to see spiritually. We are only begotten now and not born. If we understand times past, or even now, haven't had a lot to do with it in the sense of hearing it, but there used to be people come and knock on the door and say, are you born again? Because there's groups out there that say, you can be born again. Well, it's all physical. There's lacks understanding, lacks God's spirit, because we can be born again. But that born again is something spiritual. We're born once human. We can be born spirit, born again. But we have to enter God's family. We are not yet inheritors, but only heirs of God. The Holy Spirit begets us as children of God, which we are because we have God's Spirit, but we are not yet born of the Spirit, spiritual in composition. Now, we can talk about it, but unless we experience it, we don't really know. What's it like to be spirit? Like, what's it like to think a particular way? What's it like to appear and then disappear? We have no idea what it's like. We look forward to it, but we really can't comprehend what it is. But everything that is done when appearing and disappearing is for the benefit of somebody else. It's not about self. Look at me. It's not about self. It's about the benefit of who's you're appearing to or disappearing from. It helps them. It's not about us. The annual festivals, which is Truth 19. God's plan of salvation, which just that alone, if we understand that, is just an incredible thing. Passover, the holy days, pictures God's plan of salvation for mankind. Truth 22. We won't get to every truth today, but we're going to go through some of them because it's only by God's Spirit that we understand this. And this is the freedom. Now, this one means a lot to me because I understand it. I didn't before, but I understand it now because God gave me the gift of His Spirit so that I could see again. There has been an apostasy, this is Truth 22, that is unprecedented in the Church of God as prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 to 3. I can speak about this and know it because I experienced it. My wife experienced it. We know what this was like. We know about the confusion that took place in people's minds. We know people that left one day, remember being on the beach, discussing and debating about the Sabbath, that the Sabbath was still a command of God, one of the Ten Commandments. And the other person next to me was defending it as well, saying, yes, it's a truth. It's a truth of God. They can't do away with the Sabbath. The next Sabbath, that person was working. We have incredible power of the natural mind once God leaves us, because God had left us all, that we just go to what we think is right. And people went to the football on a Saturday. The week before, they were arguing that it was the right thing to keep the Sabbath holy. Is that possible? It is possible. Because when God leaves us, we rely back on what we think is right and wrong. Well, experiencing this, and really it was about the truth. When you look at the apostasy, it was about the truth. The truth was being eroded. The truth had been set up through Mr. Armstrong. God gave it to Mr. Armstrong to set up in his church, God's church. Then we had a period of time of Laodicea where what happened was there's an erosion of the truth. Things are just slowly chipped away until the final time, which was the day of the apostasy in December of 1994, when it all comes out, that the Sabbath is done away and these things take place. Well, it's no different now. I remember once in America, somebody came up and said, what's it like? And it's hard to explain what the apostasy was like. So it would be like Ron Wineland, God's apostle, if he did, which he won't, got up and said, the Sabbath's done away. What would you do? Your mind almost can't go there. It just can't happen, can it? It's called the apostasy, not that Mr. de Kotch was an apostle, but that's what it was like. We had a leader of God's church. That's what we believed. It was God's church. Then you're told the Sabbath is done away, that you can play golf on a Saturday, that you can do this and tithing's done away. The mind just doesn't know what to do. Well, what would you do? Where do you go now? This one's going to worship on a Sunday. What are you going to do? See how difficult it was. It was very difficult. And having to live it and experience it is different than just hearing about it. Because in reality, you have to make a decision. You have to do something. You can't just think, oh, well, it's just a theory. It actually happened. And thousands went by the wayside. Thousands of people went by the wayside. Without God's Spirit, we have nothing. That's what we come to the conclusion. Without God's Spirit, you can't see the truth. Without God's Spirit, we have nothing. We just have physical life. You die. That's it. If you don't have God's Spirit, and even those that live into the millennium, if without God's Spirit, what will change? Nothing. During the 100 years, If everybody's resurrected and they don't have God's Spirit, what's the point? A second life to what? Nothing. So without God's Spirit, we have absolutely nothing. What I'm doing here really is just highlighting how blessed we are that we see and that we can have peace. And this is what's setting us free. This knowledge that we have, all-powerful knowledge from God, because it settles us. It holds us together. We believe one thing. It creates unity. It creates peace. The truth is setting us free from this world, from Satan's bondage. The abomination of desolation was about what Joseph de Cotes did in the church. All of Laodicea was spewed out. There's a continuation of truth that we have been given that we understand. I want to just touch base quickly on this truth. Truth 35. We understand here, because we have God's Spirit, we understand that Christ is continually coming in the flesh, because it's in the mind, coming to us. We have God's thinking, we have Christ's thinking. And those who are in the church of God, this has only been partially understood by the church, because it's about physical. We used to think physically. Everything was basically physical. When I look back in times past, when you look at the horsemen of the apocalypse riding, we used to think it was physical. We were looking for physical things. But it was spiritual. They were spiritual things. The four horsemen that went through, the four horsemen, remember, it was about the apostasy. It was about destruction and all those things. Well, it was spiritual in nature. But we were looking for physical events. But it was a spiritual event that took place. Well, this is a spiritual event that nobody knows about. And one day people will understand that God called us and gave us His Spirit, and that He was continually, through Christ, coming in the flesh to our minds. It's about the way we think, which sets us free. We're different. Truths like no one goes to heaven, not even the 144,000. Nobody knows that out there. Everyone believes they die and go to heaven. The 144,000 are those that have been called and tried by God over the past 6,000 years, who will be in the first resurrection at Christ's return. Antichrist, if we look at Antichrist, we are free because we understand what our Antichrist is. The world thinks Antichrist, they're looking for an Antichrist. A lot think it's the Pope. A lot think there's Antichrist. Some think they're looking for men rising up, when it has nothing to do with that. The majority of Antichrists are people that are in the church, have been in the church, that have received God's Holy Spirit and now disagree with God and become against Christ living and dwelling in them. They reject the truth. They become against or anti-Christ. So I've known a few that have been Antichrist, that you know a few that have chosen to be against Christ, because they have made a decision that stops the flow of God's Holy Spirit. It stops Christ coming in the flesh to us, in the sense of spirit and the mind, that made that choice. We know them. That's what Antichrist is about. Well, we should understand this sets us free, because we can relax in all of this and say, well, yep, I know what that is, and pray that we're not ever going to be Antichrist. We're going to work against Christ in our life. Truth 42. God the Father is Yahweh Elohim, and He alone has eternally existed. We haven't known that for very long. Not very long at all, really. 2005. And it got rid of part of a Trinity belief, and we know that Joshua the Christ is the last part of that, where there's one true God. And now we understand the true name of God, and there's only one God, and now we know the true name of Christ. It's a beautiful freedom. So we're free because of the truth. And we only believe all of that because God's given it to us. Now, this is something that may be tested in our life, because it has been a test for many people, that they just, either we believe this or we don't. Truth 46. The Church of God PKG is the only physical organization, because it is a physical organization structure, God is working with in this end time. Now, people have been tested on that. People have been tested on that very belief system. Because if we don't really believe that, we're going to go off somewhere else. We're going to read other materials. We're going to do something different to take us away from God. God has always worked through a hierarchical method of government, decision top down. The world calls it dictatorship. You know, do as you're told. Well, the reality is we have great freedom. Who has made you keep the Sabbath? Nobody. It's choice, a personal choice, whether you want to keep the Sabbath or not. Nobody makes us do it. Who makes us tithe, first and second tithe? But a dictatorship would, because it would be implemented down the line and you don't do this and that's the end of you, and you get deported or locked up, one or the other, or your head's cut off. Church government doesn't work like that. Everything's done out of love. Obedience to God is what's required. And if a person is not willing to obey God, they're not going to obey church government, therefore it's better they leave. It's better they have no part to do with us. Nothing to do with God's Spirit. They better be cut off, which they are, therefore they leave. And that's a good thing. When someone is disfellowshipped because of decisions that they have made, choices they have made, it's a good thing that they're disfellowshipped. And they're disfellowshipped so that they might wake up. It's not done that, you're finished. It's to bring a person to repentance. The severing of this relationship with God, God's people, it needs to be formal and therefore removed for a time so you don't have access to it. You don't have access. And there's been people that have thought, you won't tell me who I can't talk to. But it's, again, church government, truth four. It's God's government. God says the best interest of the person is that you don't communicate with them. It's out of love that you're doing it. But people overrule God and say, you're not going to tell me who I can't talk to. And they talk to them. Well, if they talk to them and communicate with them, what they're saying to God is, I'm not going to listen to you. I know better. I'm doing this out of love. Perverted love. It's not out of love, you don't communicate. Because it's the best thing for the person to lose that fellowship with us, to lose that fellowship with God's people. And therefore they might wake up and think, oh, you know, I miss what I used to have and repent. Because it's disfellowshipment is about repenting, bringing a person to repentance. We'll just work to a conclusion here. The 50th truth. The beauty of the 50th truth, where we once believed that Christ would return on trumpets, then to have it revealed that Christ would return on a Pentecost, and that we are moving from Pentecost to Pentecost to Pentecost. And looking back now and realizing what Pentecost meant years ago to what Pentecost means today, it can't be described to what we know about wave sheaf offerings, about two loaves, about the day of Pentecost. It is incredible the magnification that God has given us about Pentecost and the fact that Christ will return on a Pentecost. All that we never knew before. Whereas trumpets was more the day that people say the blowing of the trumpets. But that has a different meaning. And this Feast of Trumpets, all being well, we'll go into a bit more of what trumpets is about. Because it's an important time and it's about announcements, as we know. We understand these things. The scattered church doesn't. The scattered church, outside of PKG, the scattered church believes that Christ and the 144,000 will return on trumpets. That's the doctrine. That's the belief. We have been set free with the truth. Isn't it beautiful? I think it's marvellous. We have a freedom that we know we're moving from Pentecost to Pentecost. Until the day that Christ stands on the Mount of Olives. That's what we're waiting for. And that there's a resurrection and a change where we have a new government. Satan is going to be removed. We wait for that. Where everyone else has a different view. The majority of mankind knows nothing about Christ's return. Absolutely nothing. And it was interesting, there was a period of time when during Laodicea, there's certain times where talking about the return of Christ to this earth was almost banned, wasn't to be spoken of by the ministry. And we were up in a feast on the Gold Coast, I think it was that year, with a group of people and a few friends and that. And we, by day four, we were worried. We're at the Feast of Tabernacles, which we knew was about Christ's return and 1,000 years. And it hadn't been mentioned, would you believe, for 4 days. 4 days. And we think, there's something wrong. So there was a group of us went up to one of the ministers who was still, I would say, of the older teaching or belief, rather than there was a group moving in one direction. He was quite back in this way. We said, something's wrong. We've not heard millennium, 1,000 years, rule of Christ at all in any sermons. Something's wrong. He said, yeah, there's something wrong. We've been instructed not to mention these things. But he said, I've got a sermon tomorrow. So we turn up and there, I go into his name and he's there and he's going for it. You know, what we believed, the truth. And there was a group of us where they're going, what? What? Go for it. It's exciting. And others are there. Oh. It was, the division was incredible. But can you imagine going to the Feast of Tabernacles and not mentioning the word millennium, 1,000 years, Christ's return with 144,000? Well, it's happened. Because when people go to sleep and different agendas come in, God's spirit is cut off, guess what happens? The truth is not there. Start to have a different truth, something different. Well, we lived through that, and it was exciting for that period, but it didn't take long. We used to end up going to services and sit at the back of the hall. This is when church is virtually deep asleep in the early 90s. And there was still a small group that still was yearning for the truth to be taught. But it was wishy-washy stuff that was coming out all the time. And you'd sit there and, oh. And there were certain sermons that were played. And now and again you'd hear, this Bible's closing. People are sick of it. It's just garbage being taught and going. And generally, as it went on longer and the more Bibles, it was all along the back row. Because generally, all the people that didn't agree with all the changes that were subtly being introduced, they were sitting further back. Because in the end, you actually didn't want to go. Because you knew, we knew, we're going to end up in a fight here. There's going to be an argument at services. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? There was no like minds, or there was very few like minds. And then in the end, you did not know who was for the truth and who was against, because nobody would talk to anybody, because all the factions were starting up. And there was a small group in the end, and the Bibles were closed at the back row, and some would get up and walk out, because it was just garbage. No truth. God's spirit had left. No truth. Just man-made concepts were coming up. And the amount of gimmicks that were coming up. People in ministry would get up, and they'd have gimmicks. One particular person came out with a push bike, wheeled it out and put it at the front of the lecterns. You need gimmicks, because if the truth's not being taught, you need a gimmick to draw attention or teach a principle. We use God's Holy Spirit. That's what we use. God gives us the truth in the mind. God communicates to us. Truth will set us free. Gimmicks aren't needed because of the truth. The 50th truth is a wonderful truth about God and what God will do on the day of Pentecost through Christ. Wonderful. Truth 52, God is restoring rightful knowledge, or the knowledge concerning the rightful place of women in the family. And many a program that I've watched, I've turned to Chris and said, very blessed in lots of ways, in lots of countries, that you're not born a woman. Because it is so perverted and so evil, it's unbelievable. That what happens to women? It's just horrendous. What happens to young girls? And it just is unbelievable. Because man just thinks that women generally as objects. Self-gratification. That's what most men think. It's the world. Especially in certain religions, women are irrelevant. They're so irrelevant, they've got to sit on that side of the hall. And not this side, where the men are. Horrendous freedoms that need to be given. Freedoms need to be, because it's horrendous. So being a woman in this world, other than possibly the Western world, and even that's oppressive, but in other places it's absolutely shocking what man has done because of his strength. Well, God's going to fix that. And it starts in God's church now, but the freedom that's going to be given to people in the millennium and the 100 years, you can see how different this is. Total different way of thinking because of God's Holy Spirit. Because you can only see this because of God's Spirit. You know, some out there are grasping that women have a rightful role equal to men, but still got to keep them down. It's about money. Ordination of women in the church. Well, that caused a lot of problems to other churches. But to God's church, it shouldn't. Truth 54. Truth 54 is something we never knew and never understood because we believed that spirit could not die. Truth 54. There is an end to Satan's existence. His punishment is that of eternal death, never to have life again. And I think this is just incredible too. The fact that we now understand this, that there's a time of judgment. Satan has been judged. Now there's just a time period. And he knows it because God has revealed it to his church. Some have believed that since angelic beings are composed of spirit, that they cannot cease to exist and therefore are eternal beings. Angelic beings can cease to exist. This is a freedom. Because when you really look at it, God, in his great glory and his power, has created something and given it an opportunity to live a particular way, and it has rebelled. It has rebelled against God. What is the most loving, merciful thing to do? Let it stop existing so that it can't hurt itself anymore, that evil can stop, because the end result is there's only good. There's only God and God's way. Angels are created and composed of spirit essence and given life by God. They do not have self-sustaining inherent life in themselves. They're going to die. God created both good and evil, which we covered in a sermon. Truth 57, which is the last truth that really sets us free, and that's what we're talking about today. It's about this particular truth that sets us free, God's Holy Spirit. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, Almighty God, where God's Spirit comes, this is where good comes from, will dwell in his family. We are now begotten as his family, not yet inherited, not yet born again. But God dwells in us now, but there's going to come a time where he dwells in us forever, never to cease. Whereas at the moment, we have the power to cut the flow of God's Holy Spirit off. Dwells in his family into everlasting life, and they will always dwell in him. So God's Spirit emanates from him. It's his Holy Spirit. It's different than God's Spirit. God's Spirit is one of creating, the creating of the planets, the creating of the animals, the creation of the earth, the recreation of the earth. It's all done by God's Spirit, God's power to do it. This is about God's Holy Spirit. It's separate to God's Spirit in the sense of what it achieves. God's Holy Spirit achieves something. It's the only way to enter Elohim, the only way. Without God's Spirit, a person can never, ever enter Elohim. It's not possible. It's just not going to happen. In conclusion, you'll turn to Ephesians 1 verse 13. Conclusion. We, as God's people, should have peace of mind that cannot exist in people that are still held captive by Satan's deceptions. So we should be at peace. Now this really means we should respond differently to every situation, to every environment. We should respond differently in traffic. It's still frustrating, but we should respond differently. We should respond differently if someone accuses us of something falsely. We should react differently. We shouldn't set out to justify ourselves and raise our voice and argue. Why? Because we have God's Spirit. We're ambassadors for Christ on this earth. We should be different. People should experience good because God's living and dwelling in us. So they won't recognize it, but they should experience our behaviors. They should experience our behaviors, and they'll think it's weird and different, but one day they're going to go, ah, now I know why they were like that. On Pentecost 31 AD, God provided his people a comfort that comes from having the truth, having his thinking dwelling in us. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In him, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, because this is what it was about. We were called, and what did we hear? The truth. And wasn't it exciting? You know, there were certain truths that each one of us heard something. And we went, wow, that's incredible. Let me tell you about it. Everybody's done that. Because it's the truth that we see. And we see something others can't. But we don't know that at that point. We just think, look at this. It's hidden knowledge. Look at this. Can't see it. But we do it. We've all done that some way or other. The gospel, which is the good news of your salvation. So the good news is about salvation. We can be saved from what we are. We're selfish. We can be saved from that, but we have to make this choice to be saved. God's desire is that we be saved. He wants a family. He wants us in that family. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we carry a seal now, but we can cut that seal off. We can break that seal and throw it away. But we're sealed now with God's Spirit, and therefore we believe God. And the choice is whether we're going to continue to believe God. Well, it will happen because of God's power if we continue to yield to God. Verse 14, which is a guarantee of our inheritance. So there is a guarantee. You are guaranteed. I am guaranteed salvation, as long as we endure fighting self, till the redemption or the deliverance of the purchased possession. We've been purchased by Christ, by God the Father, through Christ, to the praise of his, God's glory. It is God that saves through Christ. We know this, the world doesn't. They have a rough idea of certain things, but they don't know the truth. The truth can set us free. It can, if we believe the truth. Free from the bondage of this natural carnal mind. Because this natural carnal mind holds us in bondage. Deception. Everyone's held in bondage. We're not in bondage. We shouldn't be. So we can be free. We can be at peace if we believe God and believe the truth.